Before we start the show, I want to thank the thousands of you, the thousands who have read This Book Will Make You Dangerous. Many of you have told me that the book's unique way of exploring fear, confidence, and purpose has had a lasting impact, that it's much easier for you to get clarity and direction about what really matters and what you want to do in this lifetime. It's also amazing to hear that quite a few of you have read it multiple times and even bought copies for friends. So thank you again. Just in case you weren't aware, I created a free companion video course for the book. And in these videos, I walk you through the big takeaways and practices from each chapter. And I even cover some extra stuff that's not included in the book. Information on how to access the course is in newer versions of the book. And if you own an older version of the book and you don't know how to access the course, just hit me up via the contact form at triplanier.com and we'll get you all set up. And one last thing, if you're one of the thousands who have already read the book, please consider leaving an honest review on Amazon so that others can decide if it's right for them. Again, thank you so much for reading This Book Will Make You Dangerous. And now let's start the show.
You are listening to The New Man Beyond the Macho Jerk and the New Age Wimp. Your host is men's coach Trip Lanier.
Are you waiting on the perfect plan to emerge before making a change? Is your life oriented around what you love or the expectations of others? And what could you do over the next few months to positively kick yourself in the ass? Today, we're talking with Amelia Earhart about cutting the BS, doing what you love, and of course, flying. Welcome to The New Man. Today we're talking with Amelia Earhart, and yeah, what are you? You're an aviatrix. You're what? How do we describe you?
I'm a lot of different things lately, and that's all changed in the last year or so. I used to only identify myself with my job, which is a TV reporter, and I work in Denver. I'm a traffic reporter, kind of breaking news. Whatever flies my way, I cover. But I have a lot of other things going on, which in the last year I've really started focusing on. So my title's kind of changing. My name being Amelia Earhart, it draws a lot of attention, and it's sort of what threw me into becoming a pilot. So I'm a pilot, and I'm doing some pretty big training right now for some cross-country flights and retracing flights that Amelia Earhart did back in 1937, and eventually training for a flight around the world.
Well, I have to ask, I mean, is Amelia Earhart your real name? If people are out there just like, is this just some publicity stunt? I mean, what is this really your name?
It is really my name, and I'm a namesake and a distant relative of Amelia. My family has common ancestry that can be traced back to the 1700s, so it's not like a real direct, you know, second cousin, twice removed kind of situation, but right. My parents are great. They're some of my best friends, and they're totally crazy for giving me this name. But my mom wanted to give me a really positive female role model to look up to, and my dad thought it was a good idea, and I used to hate it, but now I just see it as the best gift they could have ever given me.
And you've always been named Amelia, and you've always had this, you know, consideration or comparison to the original Amelia Earhart. But I wondered, I mean, do you think you'd be a pilot even if your name wasn't Amelia Earhart?
I don't know. I mean, I'm pretty feisty, so I think I'd probably be doing something like jumping out of planes or climbing mountains or something in that category. But the reason that I started flying was because every single day in my life, I had to talk about it and was forced into it. And I'd be at the grocery store, at school, or, you know, anytime your name comes up in conversation, people would say, "Are you a pilot?" And finally, one day, I just got sick of saying no. So I went and took a flight lesson. And it turns out that that is what really lit me up. And it took a lot of years to figure out how to pay for it and how to really dive into it the way I'm doing now. But I'm so glad I found it. And I'm so glad that I was encouraged by my family, but I was never forced. No one else in my family is a pilot.
Yeah.
And so it was just sort of a hint and an idea because, you know, you're aware with your parents. If they tell you, "Hey, go be a pilot," I'd probably go be a nurse or something else, completely opposite.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because, you know, most of my time is spent working with men. I do work with women as well, but it's just I'm noticing you're going into, it's a male-dominated field to be a pilot. And when I talk to guys, there's all these resistances in their life. Well, I can't possibly do this. I can't possibly do that. And here you are, a young woman at that, getting into being a pilot. What kind of resistance was there, or did it just flow?
You know, there is a lot of resistance, but I like it. I mean, I thrive on being in situations where I'm not, quote, allowed to be. And that's also something that's just in the last couple of years becoming more something that I'm more comfortable with. But it's great when I go out to the airport and I'm walking out to the plane and I'm by myself and I've got my flight bag and some, you know, middle-aged guy will drive up to me and say, excuse me, ma'am, you know, do you need some help? Do you know where you're going? And then I point to the plane and I say, yeah, that's sitting over there. I'm going to go fly that. I'm good. And it's, you know, it's awesome. I love proving people wrong. And I, you know, I'm not the typical, I'm not a tomboy by any means. I'm very feminine, girly, you know. You know, I show up in makeup and great outfits to go fly. It's I don't necessarily fit the stereotype of what people think of when they think female pilot. And that's even more fun to throw other people off. But it's awesome in other circumstances because I do a lot of school visits and I talk to kids and all sorts of groups across Denver and beyond now with the blog. And it's starting to get teenage girls excited about going out to the airport and trying to learn how to fly, and other women who they just never feel like they've been invited into that environment. And that's part of the problem. And with my flight around the world eventually, I mean, that's what I'm really hoping to change.
Okay, well, let's talk about this because you've been on this just amazing trajectory. We've known each other for a few years now. And so describe where you were a few years ago or even just a year ago. And then we'll kind of lead up to now and what you're working on now.
Yeah. Okay. A few years ago, I was, you know, nothing in my life has ever been pity party, you know, feel bad for me. I have had a great life and so many opportunities. So I'm fortunate and just grateful for all of those. But a couple of years ago, I was so focused on just my job, just going to work in the news, trying to be, you know, that perfectly pretty articulate personality on the news that everybody wants to wake up and see and relate to. And I was kind of getting wrapped up in that. And I went and worked in Los Angeles for a while. And it's nice. You get a lot of attention and it's immediate feedback and you get a lot of, oh, you're great. You're smart. You're hot. I want to be around you. And that's all it is. There's nobody wants to connect with you and learn about more. They want to be around you for that little buzz that they get, which is very momentary. And I was feeding off of that and it wasn't getting me anywhere relationship wise, friendship wise. So I moved back from Los Angeles, got a better job offer here in Denver. And when I came back, it was almost like I made it to the number two market in terms of television news. And I made the decision to come back to Denver because it felt better here. It felt more Amelia. It felt more comfortable, but not in a lazy way. Comfortable in a sense that I wanted to do more things that made me feel like myself here.
Yeah, I want to interrupt here because I there's so many guys, and we get, you know, especially as guys, we get this drilled into our head, like you got to get into a good school and then you got to get a great job and then you got to get such and such a wife and the kids in the house. And this is this whole like rat race ladder mentality. And you, it sounds like you started actually paying attention to your experience and like, wait a second. Here I am. I'm rocking this, but it feels like crap. Like this doesn't really jive with me. What's going to jive with me? Is that right?
It's totally right. And I can remember a very specific day. I was sitting in my parking garage of my apartment complex, sitting in my car, and I was talking to you on the phone, and I was just bawling because I could not find a decent person to spend time with relationship wise. You know, I because I wasn't being myself and being true to what makes me happy, I wasn't projecting my, you know, full Amelia personality. So I was drawing all these really weird people into my life and I was unhappy and I was trying to please them for all these wrong reasons. And it was like things lined up from the outside. It looked awesome. Amelia's in Los Angeles. She's making a ton of money. You know, she's working in a helicopter every single day. And I would go home and I would sit on the floor of my apartment and I would just cry. Mm. I gained a bunch of weight. I looked like hell. I just wasn't smiling. And I'm not kidding. The second that I accepted the job offer to come back to Denver, and I knew that I was starting to make plans to come back to the place that I love so much and where it just sort of everything clicked. The weight fell off. I started radiating again and everybody was noticing. You know, I was starting to do photography again. I was starting to get excited. I was flying. And now I'm back. And I'm back in the literal and physical sense.
You know, it's cool. It's so cool because, you know, it's so simple. We totally get this idea in our head of like, do what you love and treat other people right. Like, it's real simple, right? Just do what you love and treat other people right. But for some reason, we follow these scripts and what we should be doing and what we think others want us to do. And then we stop doing what we love. We stop being engaged in that. We stop being fulfilled in that way. And we look to the outside to fulfill us. But that's where it just feels empty. That's where it just goes blank. And I just think it's just ballsy. It takes guts to really say, all right, what do I really want? What do I want to go for? And how am I going to orient my life around what I really, what really actually fulfills me? And you said, once you started to do that, doors started flying open and it just seems like you started getting air again. You started getting real nutrition again. Is that right?
Oh, totally. I mean, I opened up and I started thinking, okay, I'm going to take this huge pay cut. My life is not going to feel the same. It's not going to be as edgy. It's not LA doing police chases and being on the news and hundreds of thousands of people watching me every day. And then I thought, well, is that what I really want? And when I finally said, that's not what I want, and really said it out loud and started writing it down, and I looked at the opportunities, you know, in both towns. And I thought, well, the opportunity is coming from inside. And if I'm not in a place to give my best, it's going to suck anyways.
Yeah.
You know, so, and, you know, just coming back here, oh my gosh, I can't even begin to describe just how different it feels and all the things that I've created here. And I think there's just inherently a difference between Los Angeles and Denver. In the mentalities of each, you know, group of people. But wherever you are, it doesn't matter. Like it's all from how you feel in that exact place and how far you're going to take your goals.
Absolutely. That's what it comes down to, is paying attention to your own experience. Hey, is this working for me or is this not? And you know, I got the shivers when you said, when I owned it, like when I spoke it and I wrote it down, that was you taking responsibility. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. And it was a really hard... It was a hard decision to make and also something really hard to admit that I had decided to move to Los Angeles and I was going to come back. It almost felt like a failure. And that was something that I kept telling myself, don't come back before a full year is through. You've got to give this a year because maybe you're not seeing the big picture. And when a year came and I finally said, you know, it's time to go home and it's time to go back to the things that make me want to be more of a... just a dynamic person, an open person. The second I put that out there, oh my gosh, like the love was flowing in all directions, you know, and coming from the strangest places. And social media had a lot to do with that. You know, I remember the day that I got on Facebook and to my 5,000 friends said, hey, I'm moving back to Denver. It was like, well, thank God we were waiting for you to say that because we can tell that you're not happy.
Wow.
And so that's so cool. And, you know, I want to talk a little bit about that. Too, the social media side of support that I've seen through all of this, and when you put a goal out there, what a cool dynamic that can create, because that honestly is what has driven a lot of the flight training I've been doing and also eventually the flight around the world.
Okay. All right. So we'll just kind of rewind just a bit. So you decided to come back from LA. You decided to honor what really works for you and what's going to fire you up. And then, but sounds like that wasn't just enough. You had a vision, something else that you wanted to do. Is that right?
Yeah. So okay. I came back to Denver, started working at NBC again. And, you know, everybody welcomed me with open arms. And I'm not saying I deserved it or that would happen for everybody. I don't know. It was just the stars aligned. And then it was like, hey, welcome back. We missed you. And it felt like a big hug. And so I said, okay, this is fine. I'm not as fearful about making the shift and coming back. So I got into that routine of going to work each morning. I work horrid hours. I get up at 3 a.m. and I work till 9 and then go back in the afternoon, just working a split shift. I realized that I was sleeping in the middle of the day. And that's really not my style. And I would go to work, full makeup, hair, you know, be this bright, bubbly personality on TV. And I would come back to my little apartment and I would fall asleep. And I'd go back to work in the afternoon. And then I'd come home and I would, you know, meet up with friends for a little bit, go drink, just do these things that were dulling me down. Mm. and I wasn't flying at all. I wasn't doing much. Well, then a different opportunity came along. I was encouraged to go to meteorology school. So eventually, you know, start doing weather here at the station that I work for. So then that was another aspect of my daily routine, go to school, go to work, kind of keep all those things in mind. And I woke up one day and I realized, I was like, what is wrong with you? You're back. You know, everything is lining up. You're in a place where you can fly. What's keeping you from going to the airport? And I realized that I was scared. I was like, well, if I start doing this again, then people's expectations of what I do when I'm in the plane, where I go with it, what it means to be Amelia Earhart and have this, you know, it's been sort of a burden at some points because people are like, well, if you're a pilot and you named Amelia Earhart, you should be doing epic things. I was really scared to see.
Man, that's a lot of pressure.
It is. I mean, think about if I ever do anything wrong in the plane, if I ever, God forbid, have a plane crash as I'm named Amelia Earhart, I mean, top of the news around the world, guaranteed. Yeah. So it's, I mean, it gives me a lot of responsibility. And so I hold myself to some pretty high standards in the plane. But that's kind of why I was avoiding going back out there. Mm. And I finally went out and I flew. And this has really started happening in the last 6-7 months. And when I finally got out there to the airport, I mean, I was like a kid that gets a brand new shiny bike, and like, I was giggly, I was elated, I had goosebumps. I got back in the car and I was by myself, and I'm driving back out from the airport, and I'm not even like off the airport grounds yet, and I'm shaking, literally shaking. And it was like a light switch. It was, okay, there's Amelia toned down doing the basics, getting by, making money, getting enough sleep, blah, blah, blah. And then there's Amelia, that plus aviation. And it's like, I don't know. It lights me up. And
I love what you said about that. It wasn't easy. I think a lot of us are out there like, man, if I knew what I really love to do, it would be easy. It would just kind of show up. And it's not that way. It will actually resist it. You know, Stephen Pressfield was on here from The War of Art and just talking about that one thing that really gives us bliss and gives us meaning. We're going to fight it. We'll actually create walls to keep us from doing that. And this was your version of that. But ultimately it came back to your experience. This is what fulfilled you.
Right. And I remember that podcast. You said the thing that you get the most resistance from is the thing that you absolutely have to do. And that's what I had to do. It's so hard to go out there. It's hard to get in that plane. It's hard to do all the studying. It's hard to fork out, you know, $500 for a flight lesson, but it's what works for me. And I swear it is. I mean, I feel like I'm walking on air. I flew to Telluride yesterday. I got in the plane and flew from Denver to Telluride. I have no words for the beautiful things that I saw.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those situations where you come back and you're like, I made that day absolutely matter. It sticks out from the rest. And that's it. I mean, you've got to have an adventure every day if you're going to live like this. And I'm figuring that out, that if I'm not doing these things that are daily wise, you know, challenging my aviation goals, my work goals, I'm just not satisfied.
Beautiful.
And there are plenty of hours and minutes in the day to make that happen.
Right, right. So even though you're getting up at 3 and you have this weird wonky schedule, you're still finding time to get out there and do what you love. And I love what you say, make each day meaningful, make it an adventure.
Yeah. And something that I've been repeating to myself over and over again recently is that you've got to look each day in the eye. And, you know, it's like you wouldn't have a conversation with somebody that you loved or appreciated and look behind them or kind of skirt around their face. I mean, you're going to look them directly in the eye and you're going to mean what you say because you care about them. Well, I've realized that now each day, as corny as it sounds, I mean, each day is so filled with potential. The things that I've accomplished in the last couple of months to get this trip going to retrace Amelia's North American route, ridiculous. I don't have a PR manager. I don't have a real website. I've got a blog that's free with no sponsors. And I'm pulling this off because every single day is a chance for me to pick up my phone, write an email, respond to an email, go out and make a connection. So when I say that I'm looking each day in the eye, like I'm honoring what I see in it. And I'm saying, you know what? This is the direct connection that you and I have, and we're going to rock it.
Wonderful. Well, let's talk about this flight. So you're retracing Amelia Earhart's North American route. That's from Oakland to Miami, right?
Right.
And now why is this a big deal? Because people fly across the country every day in some form of an aircraft. So why does that matter in 2011, 2012?
Well, it matters. Obviously, it matters to me personally. But this is truly my first adventure. And, you know, I've flown in F-16s. I've flown in news helicopters and seen the most miraculous, amazing things. I see gorgeous sunrises and sunsets every day. You know, I pilot my own airplane. But the fact is, I go and I talk to kids at schools. I talk to people all the time about aviation. And sometimes I feel a little bit like a fraud. I'm like, all I talk about is passion and adventure and being inspired about your life. And then I thought, like, well, what have I done? So I'm looking at all these things and thinking, okay, to some people, this would qualify as adventure in itself, but I really needed something that would take me far away from home, get me way up in the air, but also have some significance to my name and honoring Amelia and, you know, thinking, how can I do this? And I started this flight training blog when I got back into my instrument flight training, and it just took off. I mean, in the first month, we had over 10,000 views, and I think there's a lot of curiosity behind women in planes and then the name and there were a lot of pictures and people like photography and yada, yada. But the turning point with that blog was one day I woke up and I thought, well, I need a goal because when I don't have daily goals, I don't do very well. I mean, I'm a list maker. I like to check things off. And I thought, well, what would logistically make sense go along with my skill level in the airplane, still be edgy enough so people would pay attention and, you know, we could draw a little bit of excitement about it and kids would start watching and all that. And I thought, well, North America, that's within my skill level. It'll be an epic flight. There's an ocean crossing from New Orleans to Miami. And why not? So I put it out there. I had no plane. I had no money, no sponsors. And I put it on the blog. I woke up one day and I said, here's what I want to do. I want to retrace the 1937 route of Amelia from Oakland, California to Miami. I want to do it in the Cirrus and I'm doing it by the end of the year.
Wow.
And here's what happened. I pressed publish on my WordPress blog and I sat there shaking. I'm like, oh crap, what have I done? Because you put it out there to the universe and you're like, now I really have to do it.
Yeah.
And I'm not kidding. I have a really hard time asking for help. But I think that was my subconscious way of asking for help. So many people came out of the woodwork. 1 week later, I got a call from somebody in Washington, D.C. who said, I have a Cirrus. It's brand new. It's loaded with every last feature that you could ever want. I want you to use my plane. I get another call from a company that says, I want to donate hangar space. Another person says, I want to give you money for fuel because we believe in the passion for aviation that you're representing and the fact that you're a woman getting out there and doing all this. And it has just come together in so many ways. And
it's awesome. There's so many people that believe they have to figure out the how first and then they'll commit. And what I keep seeing from you is just like, look, I just need to figure out what I want to do. And then the how will take care of itself. I'll figure out the how as we go. But for so many of us, we don't want to put ourselves in that vulnerable position of just, all right, I click publish. Now, how in the hell am I going to do this? That was like, no, I want to avoid that. That's scary. I need to have the foolproof plan. I need to have the full strategy. There can't be any failure. There can't be any room for any, you know, screw ups or anything. And I think that's what holds so many people back from doing what they really love is because they're so like just fixated on the how instead of just focusing on what do you want to do? And then you never know what's going to come out of the woodwork, but just throw it out there, commit to what you want. And then the rest will take care of it yourself. You'll still have to put some legwork into it. I know you've been busting some ass on this, but it's not going to happen unless you show up, get clear on what you want and then make that commitment.
Yeah. And recently, you know, since putting this goal out there, I've been approached by a lot of people saying, oh, that's really awesome, but I could never do anything like that. Or, I can't fly. It's too expensive, this and that. And I look at them and I'm that annoying person that's like, why? Why not? How can I help you? Like, let's look at the resources because they're out there for flying, for photography, for school. If you want to go back and learn anything, I swear to you, God, it's like, if I could have told myself anything 5 years ago, it is that the resources are there and people want to help and they want to cheer you on. I mean, people want something to believe in and go, oh, I wonder if she's going to make it. Like that's the fun stuff. And so when I'm on Facebook and I'm putting out there that I want to do all these things and Twitter, I mean, I'm not kidding. Daily basis, I'm getting 20 to 30 emails from people saying, you have inspired me. I went out to the airport and took a flight, or I'm getting excited about this. I think I'm going to go out and try it. And that's what it's all about. I mean, if I can be a good example for one person, done. Because yeah. If I can feel like this, like I wish everybody felt like this. And I feel truly like the luckiest girl in the world.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I mean, if you could just zoom out and like, what's the one thing that you would like that some guy or some gal that's out there listening right now is just like sitting on the sidelines? What would be the one thing that you would just want to tell them? Like, here's something you can do today. What, any ideas?
I think we all have perceptions that everybody else is doing a lot more than we are. And that's so not true. So many people are on the sidelines and there's so few people taking the risks and getting out there and doing something different that you will be the minority. If you actually go out there with that like spark in your eye and that mindset of, yes, I'm going to accomplish this, you're going to be one of the few out there doing it. And that's what people want to latch onto. I mean, before you know it, you're going to have people helping you out in weird ways. And I'm not just saying financially or handing you things like that you don't necessarily deserve, but just taking that initial step of making the decision of what you want to do and introducing yourself to that field, whether it's just getting online and doing a little bit of research. I know that always gets me really pumped up. It's like, if I want to learn something, I just go to the experts. I learn about them. I'll listen to a podcast. I'll watch a video. And it takes a little bit of that fear away. Because the more like else you know about what you want to get into, it just seems impossible.
Yeah.
You know, I'm studying to be a meteorologist right now. It scares the crap out of me. Like, you know, I'm relearning advanced calculus. And if I put that off and put it off, I get so much fear built up behind it that I'm like I was in college. I'm sitting there, it's the middle of the night, right before my final, and I'm cramming for this thing that I'm in no way going to pass or understand because I'm fearful of the material. And if I actually take a step in and realize that it's possible and I have just as much brain capacity as the next guy learning how to do these things, like, go for it. Just take the fear out of it by getting closer to that goal. I think so. I don't want to come across as like Pollyanna-ish, you know, oh, I can do anything. I'm Amelia Earhart, because sometimes I fear that, but this is truly a shift in the way that I'm treating myself, the way that, I mean.
Well, let's talk about that. What's different about how you treat yourself? You're obviously being, the world is treating you a little differently, right? The way that you're showing up. But I'm curious, you're still living with you 24 hours a day. How do you treat yourself these days?
Every day. I don't know what it is. Like I said, I'm waking up at 3 a.m. Every single day, you have to have a goal. And today, I knew I was going to talk to you. I wrote you that email. I said, Trip, I had bounced out of bed knowing that today at 10 o'clock, I was going to talk to you. And that was going to be the high point of my day to express myself, get one step closer to these goals that I have, and put it out there. And you know, I was like kind of buzzing all morning long. I'm on TV. And I got emails from people saying, you know, hey, you look good today. Like, you know, I like your energy. And people pick up on that. Mm. So if you're walking around, if you're that person that's walking around with a big idea of what you want to do, you know, you've got this bounce in your step. You're walking with intention. Your eyes are lit up. When you interact with just anybody, the guy at Starbucks, you know, taking your order, you smile at him and you know what you want. And it's that unnameable sort of charisma that people go, what is that? Like, what is going on with you? And I get that a lot from people. Like, something's different. Like, and I just know that I figured out what I'm supposed to do. And if each day you know clearly what that is, and you get all the hard crap out of the way first, you know, you do all the bills and all the crap, get it out of the way so that you can have fun the rest of the day, even if you're at work. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what it's all about. And I have drawn the most amazing people into my life because of this new attitude and because of flying. It's just, you know, you meet people that have that same kind of energy, or maybe you meet somebody who doesn't have it, but they're looking for it and you're able to help them.
Here are some big takeaways from our talk with Amelia. Number one, check yourself. Are you a rat racer? Are you one of those people who is simply running a script? Are you creating a life based on a certain image of yourself or the expectations of others? If so, This is a trap. Now, why? Because meeting the expectations of others rarely results in any sense of true satisfaction. If whatever you're doing isn't ultimately fulfilling, then you're just a drone. It's our responsibility to clarify what lights us up. It's our responsibility to orient everything in our life, our career, our relationships, our fitness, everything, to bring greater joy and satisfaction. And the only way to know if we're on track is to pay attention to our experience. So, am I drained? Am I bored? Am I pissed? Or am I lit up? Am I inspired? Am I satisfied? Amelia's story reminds us that everything can look great on the outside, and yet we can still feel like crap on the inside. Pay attention to your experience and adjust the path accordingly. Number two, it takes guts to orient your life around what is truly fulfilling. Those scripts, the social expectations, and that rat racer mentality create a center of gravity in our culture designed to keep us put. It keeps us sitting on the sidelines for fear of looking like a failure or whatever you may imagine. It takes guts to break rank and actually listen to ourselves. Now, if you're in this rut, start small. Find one small thing you can do every day that will bring a sense of fulfillment and build from there. Number three, even if you figure out your passion, that thing you love to do that gives your day joy and a sense of meaning, it's not going to be easy. It's not some utopia. In fact, you can count on resistance to show up. Resistance simply means that you're moving beyond your comfort zone. Resistance does not mean what you're doing is necessarily wrong or bad. Listen to my interview with Stephen Pressfield for more on dealing with resistance. Number four, most guys are sitting on the sidelines because they're waiting for the perfect plan to emerge. Now, if we drill down, there's a belief in there that if we have the perfect plan, then we won't screw up. And this is bullshit. You will screw up, and you'll learn from it. So stop waiting for the perfect plan and simply bring your focus to what you want instead of worrying about how you'll do it. Let me say that again. Focus on what you want instead of flipping out about how you're going to do it. Do this every day. Tell others what you want. And more often than not, when we clarify what we want and speak up about it, the world opens its arms. The world wants to help the person who knows what they want. I challenge you to take this risk. Try it for yourself and see. And number five, if you're just plodding along or doing okay, give yourself a kick in the ass. Find a goal that touches on these three basic criteria. First, make it something fun to accomplish. Pleasure is a good thing. Second, find something that will engage and challenge the best part of you. You don't want it to be boring, and you don't want it to be terrifying. A little edgy is perfect. And third, find something that will positively impact you and someone else. This will give it a sense of meaning. If you follow these three criteria, you're well on your way to creating deep satisfaction and fulfillment. So when are you going to do the flight from Oakland to Miami, Amelia's original North American route? When are you doing that flight?
December 26th to December 30th. So basically right between Christmas and New Year's.
Okay.
And there's no date correlation. It's just that I wanted to do it before the end of the year,
okay,
starting off 2012 with this, you know, sort of I did it accomplishment under my belt. And then I've got a Europe trip planned as well for 2012. I'm going to retrace her flight up East Coast to Newfoundland, Greenland, Europe, and back. So that's the next goal, which I haven't told anybody about yet.
Oh, you just did.
But, yes, I did. And that's fine by me because now it's out there. But the bigger goal is the flight around the world. And that's what this is all leading up to. And I'm hoping to do that between 2014, 2016. And I've got this huge map of the world in my tiny little studio apartment in Denver. I live on the 40th floor and I face west. So I've got this epic view of the mountains out my balcony, but inside I've got this map of the world. And I have picked out my route. I mean, there's cities like Jakarta and Dubai, and, you know, we're going through Australia and China and Russia, crazy places that I have no idea what they even look like, but I'm going to fly there. And every single morning, it's so nerdy, but I wake up and that's the first thing I see when I'm laying in bed.
Yeah.
And when you wake up and you see your route around the world, you bet your ass. Like the little things that you get hung up on throughout the day, they don't matter as much when you've got a big goal to look forward to.
I like it.
Yeah. I mean, it makes all the little stuff, like, you know, I've got just the same junk that everybody else has to do. I need to go get the tire on my car fixed, all that. But when you look at this and you think, okay, get all the little stuff out of the way first and then focus on the big stuff. Oh, it feels good.
Awesome.
That anticipation of almost like getting to work on it at the end of the day.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And so how do we follow you? How do we learn more about what's going on? You've mentioned several times that you're on Facebook, but you've also got the blog. Tell us how that we can kind of cheer you on.
I would love that. First of all, it's just a little WordPress site that I started in October, and it's www.flywithamelia.wordpress.com. And it's filled with in-flight video. I've got takeoff and landing videos. I've got my F-16 video up on there. Just everything that has to do with my life in regard to aviation is up on that site. And it's insane. I hit 25,000 views in less than 3 months on that blog. And it's fun, the feedback, the comments. People from all over the world have been on that blog. And boy, I love it. If you need encouragement, start a blog and really put your feelings out there. And Tripp, you encouraged me. I asked for some feedback on this thing. I said, you know, will you read it over? Tell me what you think. And I was writing about flight training in the most literal sense. And you said, just open up a little, be more of yourself, be more Amelia. And I did. And I got to tell you, it just warms me up because the people who are reading the blog now and who are attached to what I'm putting on there, those are the kind of people that I really enjoy connecting with because they enjoy that vulnerability. And that's what excites them more than blah, blah, blah. I did approaches and precision approaches at Telluride. You know, that's cool. But how does it feel to do those things? And how does it change you once you've accomplished those goals? And that's the juicy stuff.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, we're definitely going to be following you. We're definitely going to be checking in. And obviously, you can go to thenewmanpodcast.com and find the page for this episode of The New Man. And we'll have all those links there so you can follow Amelia as well. Amelia, I'm just psyched. I noticed you've dropped the whole you were in an F-16 several times, and I'm just pissed. I'm still pissed about that. But
yeah, I brought it up because I know that you get so feisty every time I talk about it. Best experience of my life, 9Gs, got to fly it inverted over Pikes Peak.
Okay, now you're being obnoxious. So, all right. Well, thanks so much. And we're going to have you come back and tell us about, you know, what you're learning along the way. And we'll just consider this to be chapter one of one of your interviews here on The New Man. So thank you so much for talking today.
Thank you, Tripp. I've wanted to do this for a very long time.
There's so much more to The New Man than these interviews. So visit thenewmanpodcast.com and join the mailing list so you never miss another update. Thanks for listening.